Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
It's Monday, January 20th, 2025. Laura Pavón, a young Colombian social worker at the Casa del Migrante Shelter in Tijuana, woke up buzzing with excitement. It was her first official day in a brand new role, fundraising coordinator at one of the busiest migrant shelters in Tijuana.
Me levanté muy temprano, me hice mi desayuno, ¿no? Estaba yo como, muy, muy emocionada.
She showed up a little earlier than usual. That morning, she was supposed to train one of the volunteers, show them around, explain how things worked, and introduce them to the team.
Just another Monday, or so she thought.
As she walked the halls with her new volunteer, something felt different, like a storm building quietly.
That same morning, several migrants staying at the shelter had gone to El Chaparral,
one of the three pedestrian crossings between Tijuana and San Diego,
to check in for their asylum appointments scheduled through the U.S. government-run CBP One app.
The app that had streamlined asylum requests since 2023.
But something was off. Laura noticed that those who had left for their appointments had returned earlier than expected.
Dejected. They told her the appointments were suddenly disappearing. People were receiving disheartening notifications on the app saying that their appointments were canceled.
Rumors were swirling.
No one knew what was going on, and Laura could feel the silent panic starting to spread.
Y recuerdo que como para el mediodía, si mi memoria ahorita no me falla, pues que nos llega la como el mensaje de que todas las citas de CBP One App se han cancelado.
By noon, it had become clear. CBP had canceled all the appointments.
The migrant shelter staff had to act fast. They held an emergency meeting to brainstorm. What support could they offer in this moment of uncertainty?
Y todos estábamos como intentando entender qué estaba pasando.
The occupants were scrambling for answers from her and other staff members, but they were just as confused.
O sea, regularmente nosotros tenemos la información, pero todos estábamos en ceros, ¿no?
Laura remembers their faces, the look of confusion slowly turning to dread.
Regresan estas familias, se sientan en la entrada de la casa, hay un pasillo. Y recuerdo mucho una señora que se puso a llorar y dijo como, ¿y ahora qué? No nos vayan a sacar. ¿A dónde nos vamos a ir?
She remembers one woman breaking down in tears, saying, now what? Don't kick us out. Where are we supposed to go?
That's when it sank in for Laura and the occupants.
The door had been shut on them.
That day,
the day of the inauguration of President Donald Trump,
marked a turning point for U.S. immigration policy, with significant consequences for Casa del Migrante.
Sir, this is an executive order entitled Protecting the American People Against Invasion, which again deals with the southern border and the unprecedented admission of illegal aliens across the southern border.
President Trump signed an executive order essentially ending asylum requests through the app.
The shelter was never quite the same after that.
Porque ese día para todos fue un antes y un después.
Everything changed because from that moment on, the house was never the same.
Laura says the home they knew last year, or even in earlier times, simply ceased to exist.
Crowds of people came by, seeking answers from Laura, but she had none to offer.
La gente espera respuestas de ti. Y no teníamos respuestas. Y no hay respuestas todavía, ¿no?
Even now, the answers remain elusive.
News headlines about the changes to the CBP One app were everywhere, online, on TV, and the radio.
Major change the administration made in its first hours was actually shutting down the CBP One app. That was a tool for people to apply to legally enter the country.
This app has helped nearly a million people cross into the U.S. legally, but the shutdown will affect thousands of migrants trying to cross through the San Diego border, and the news has left some in tears.
The hope of legally entering the U.S. just vanished. We first met Laura when Natalie was working on a news story for KPBS.
Yes, I was researching how people in San Diego and Tijuana could support migrant shelters. And Laura oversaw the volunteer and fundraising programs at one of Tijuana's busiest shelters, La Casa del Migrante. But what intrigued me the most was that Laura is also a migrant.
A migrant from Colombia.
So I had to meet with her again and hear her story. Why is a person from 4,000 miles away here?
In Tijuana, of all places, helping migrants, refugees, and deportees.
And how is the shelter coping with the recent profound changes in U.S. immigration policy?
This is a Port of Entry special report.
An unexpected home.
From KPBS, this is Port of Entry,
where we tell cross-border stories that connect us.
I'm Alan Lilienthal.
And I'm Natalie Gonzalez.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
You're listening to Port of Entry. Casa del Migrante is a nonprofit civil organization founded in 1987 in Tijuana. It assists migrants, refugees, and deportees by providing essential services.
Una vez pues ingresando a la casa, pues se les da el primer espacio que es acomodarlos en una habitación.
Each person who arrives at the casa is given a bed, warm blankets, personal care products, and clothing if they need it. Then, a social worker sits down with them for an initial interview to see how they can best assist them.
Una vez pues esto sucede, entonces ya el trabajo social o la trabajadora social les llama para hacer una entrevista inicial.
The first step for the shelter staff when meeting a new visitor is simple but powerful.
To just listen.
To understand how they got here, who they came with, and what they need. That's when the real support begins.
After the interview, they receive a clear explanation of the rules. If the person is an adult who can work, they're referred to the Mexican Employment Office in Tijuana. And if they're in need of legal help, the shelter provides orientation.
And then there's something that often goes overlooked, mental health.
Most people who come through the casa have experienced deep trauma. Violence, displacement, detention, or loss. That's why the shelter offers psychological support as well. The maximum allowed stay is 45 days, with the possibility of an extension depending on the case.
Laura had what she describes as a happy childhood, playing with family and friends in Colombia, climbing trees, and performing in school plays. It never crossed her mind that people would leave their country for a better life, or that she would end up doing just that.
And the U.S.? Well...
No. Bueno, tengo dos hermanos, bueno, medio hermanos, y ellos, cuando yo tenía 3 años, pues se fueron a vivir a la Florida con su mamá, y era lo único que sabías de Estados Unidos, ¿no?
At 11 years old, her only notion of the U.S. was knowing that her half-siblings lived there, in Florida, a distant place from Bogotá.
Y en realidad recuerdo cómo tener contacto con ellos, como, no sé, o sea, un contacto consciente, pues, como, no sé, tal vez a los 11, 12 años.
Laura studied government and international relations in Colombia, And, funny enough, during her college years,
she wasn't at all interested in working in immigration issues.
Me gustaban otros temas, no sé, la seguridad, la defensa, como otros temas, ¿no? Dije, no me gusta, o sea, qué aburrido, ¿no?
She was more drawn to topics like national security or defense.
She had other dreams. She always wanted to leave Colombia to pursue a master's degree abroad.
Her eyes were set on Mexico or Spain. So, after graduating in 2019, she started looking for scholarships. But then, of course, 2020 happened.
The pandemic hit. And like it was for so many others, everything changed.
Entonces, bueno, justo en esos planes, pues, me reencuentro con quien ahora es mi esposo. El de Tijuana, y yo a Tijuana lo único que conocía era la canción de Manu Chao de Welcome to Tijuana.
Laura's only awareness of Tijuana was Manu Chao's famous song, Welcome to Tijuana.
Welcome to Tijuana, tequila, sexo, marihuana.
Y era lo único que en mi mente sonaba Tijuana. Entonces ya pues nos reencontramos porque él fue a hacer un semestre a Colombia.
That started to change when she met Pedro.
Pedro is Laura's now husband, a proud Tijuanense who, she says, used to joke when they met that one day he was going to take her to Mexico.
O sea, al final, recuerdo cuando nos conocimos, siempre me dijo como... le dijo a mi papá, como yo me lo voy a llevar a México.
Her adventure at the border began in late 2020 when she arrived in Tijuana for the first time with Pedro, planning to just enjoy a short vacation.
Maravilloso. Es un tijuanense muy, muy orgulloso de donde es.
Pedro suggested they go visit family in Los Angeles. So what started as a short break turned into a sabbatical to figure out their next steps.
Both Laura and Pedro looked for things to do in their day-to-day, and that's when they both began to meet other people.
Many of whom were migrants, and some of those migrants were undocumented.
She recalls a number of conversations with some of those undocumented immigrants she met.
These conversations, Laura mentioned, were a big realization about how undocumented migrants get by and how vulnerable they were.
I recuerdo un chico de Guatemala muy joven. Y justo con él era el tema, como que él no sabía contar o no sabía leer. Y él como asociaba, como en su mente, la imagen de los billetes y ya. Y muchas veces su sobre no venía completo.
One story that stuck with her was about a young Guatemalan man who didn't know how to read or count money. He'd recognize bills only by their color and size, and often received incomplete paychecks. Something, Laura says, he didn't fully understand was happening to him.
Another instance, a bit closer to home.
One of her extended in-laws operated a business in which she employed undocumented migrants, purposefully.
Entonces recuerdo que el mínimo en California era de $15, y entonces las personas ganaban pues mucho menos, $12 or $13, ¿no?
Entonces. In that job, Laura recalls those undocumented hires were paid below the minimum wage.
She also recalls another story from a different migrant. This individual confessed that their employer would completely change their schedule overnight, using their legal status as leverage to essentially force them to comply with whatever demands the employer made.
Laura witnessed what many undocumented individuals face every day in the U.S.
Intense workdays with low pay and a hostile and abusive working environment.
6 months later, after Laura and Pedro returned to Tijuana, fate, in a way, came knocking on her door.
Y empecé pues a buscar oportunidades, básicamente en lo que, o sea, como de ciencias sociales y así. Y pues fue que encontré pues la convocatoria de la casa. Sin embargo, en ese punto.
There was a call for applications at Casa del Migrante. Her background in government and international relations meant the job was a right fit for her, especially following her recent experience with migrants in LA.
She got the job and began her journey as a social worker. Little did she know this job would be very challenging.
Mi primera entrevista justamente en trabajo social fue a un hombre deportado. Y recuerdo que ese día llegué a mi casa y me puse a llorar.
Laura's first interview with a deported man was an emotional turning point. As she returned home, she couldn't help but burst into tears.
The haunting image of a man in a quiet state of hopelessness
unable to return to the life he once knew.
All because he simply stepped out for lunch and was detained.
Pensaba, veía como, pues, como su vida, ¿no? O sea, en dos segundos, eso se desdibujó.
This weighed heavily on Laura's heart.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfire safety.
You are listening to Port of Entry. Laura's role at the shelter exposed her to many, many stories of despair and hopelessness.
Moved by the stories of the migrants she encountered, she started questioning her role in those stories as a staff member of the shelter.
Y muchas veces sí me replanteé mi humanidad, ¿no? Porque pues al final la casa pues también tiene unos lineamientos que velan por la seguridad de todos.
Pero te replanteé... Even questioning her own humanity with the tough decisions she had to make.
O si no estás cumpliendo esta regla, pues tienes que salir, ¿no? Al final es mi trabajo, pero también no dejas tú de sentir o ser un ser humano.
Part of Laura's job included evaluating whether someone was not adhering to the shelter's rules.
And at times, that meant facing the difficult task of asking some individuals to leave the house.
Recuerdo mucho el caso también de una familia que pues no estaba cumpliendo con, pues, con las reglas de la casa y tuvimos que pedirles que, pues, que se retiraran. Y yo salí ese día de mi turno de, pues, de trabajo social y estaban durmiendo afuera en la calle.
She recalls a time when they had to ask a family to leave for not following the house rules.
At the end of her shift that day, Laura found them sleeping on the street.
The guilt lingered all the way home.
She asked Pedro, was she a bad person for doing this?
O sea, ese día llegué a decirle a mi esposo como, soy un mal ser humano.
Those difficult decisions wore her down.
Hay situaciones de la gente que también te rebasan y hay que reconocerlo. Lloras, te cansas.
There are situations, Laura says, that go beyond your pay grade. Situations that drain you and leave you in tears because you can't fix them, even though you do what you can.
And it's okay to accept the fact that there's only so much one can do, she says. But those difficult decisions linger, and the emotions that remain can take their toll.
Te recuperas descansando, pero el desgaste emocional y mental, ¿cómo lo logras? No es como que me duermo y ya me siento bien al otro día, ¿no?
The stories she hears and the decisions she faces at work follow her everywhere.
And she can't help but wonder.
Y al final yo me ponía a pensar, bueno, pues ¿cuál es la ilusión? O sea, ¿qué es esa ilusión? Digo, sí, es una mejor vida, pero pues ¿a qué costo también?
What exactly is this dream of crossing into the U.S. all about, she asks? And is this dream worth the cost? About a month later, Natalie returned to the shelter, this time to talk with Silvia, the shelter's cook, a former resident of Casa del Migrante when she first arrived in Tijuana. Silvia requested we omit her last name.
Hola, hola.
Laura and I walked down the stairs from her office and headed into the kitchen. From a distance, I spotted a mural with colorful flags from different countries and the message painted across it.
No one chooses to be a refugee, but we can all choose to welcome them.
That's when it hit me. It was June 20th.
World Refugee Day.
And it felt like a special day. When we stepped into the kitchen, there were long tables lined with trays of freshly baked pizza, ready to celebrate the occasion. At the back of the kitchen, there was a woman wearing a hairnet and a kitchen cap. Laura walked over to her and asked her if it would be okay for me to talk with her for a bit. She turned, smiled at me, and said yes, but added that she would have to get back to cooking soon.
Natalie followed her into a small room with shelves full of books where they sat down at a table to talk.
Sí, porque yo sí venía con miedo de que, ay, No me van a estar buscando acá también. Porque sí, o sea, yo salí huyendo de ella porque estábamos amenazados.
When Silvia first arrived in Tijuana from Michoacán, she was looking for safety for herself and her five children.
Back home, Silvia ran a small corner store, but things got dangerous. Local gangs started demanding money.
A floor tax.
And when she refused, the threats escalated.
Nos estaban pidiendo cuota. Yo tenía una tienda de abarrotes. Y nos estaban pidiendo cuota. Y pues de hecho ya tenían ubicados a mis hijos, ya traían fotos y todo. Dije no.
They had photos of her kids.
She knew she had to leave.
At Casa del Migrante, Silvia found something she hadn't felt in a long time.
Relief.
And in Laura, she found someone who treated her not just like another case, but like a real person.
Es una persona muy sencilla y pues le gusta ayudar a la gente. Con los niños, pues no se diga.
Silvia and her kids received more than just shelter and a warm meal from Laura.
Pues moralmente nos dio muchos consejos de que pues aquí se iba a apoyar a, se nos iba a apoyar o sea, en todo.
She gave them comfort in the form of hugs and kind words. And for Silvia, that made all the difference.
O sea, por el apoyo que te dan. Tan solo con un abrazo. No sé.
Como
un aliento. Las palabras.
Uh-huh. Silvia eventually moved out of the shelter, but it wasn't long before she came back.
This time not as an occupant, but as a staff member in the kitchen, feeding dozens of people every day.
No me quiero ir. O sea, me siento a gusto aquí. Se siente uno a gusto y pues sientes como que estás con tu familia. Es una familia, pues se puede decir que estás aquí.
For Silvia, Casa del Migrante isn't just a workplace. It's a family. It's a home. And Laura, she's not just shelter staff. She's part of that family, too.
Yo quiero...
Walking back into the kitchen, I was struck by the welcoming atmosphere. Laura was right at home, laughing and having pizza with the cooks. She offered me a slice, and yeah, I was a bit shy at first, but I took it anyway. It felt just like being in middle school again, showing up at a friend's house and having their mom insist I eat something. I would be a bit embarrassed at first, but that didn't last long. Before I knew it, I would be going out for seconds. Just like that, in the kitchen, I felt right at home. Silvia is not the only one who has turned hardship into a new beginning here in Tijuana.
Even if it has meant not ending up where they originally planned.
Laura has seen others do the same.
Sí, bueno, en principio fue como no hay opción, pero tenemos una familia que incluso antes porque las citas, bueno, estaban tardando mucho en salir y ya como la gente de ver que no salía, pues ya.
Those who had pinned their hopes on scheduled interviews through the CBP One app, the one that promised a path to legal entry into the U.S., were left stranded, with no answers and no timeline.
But instead of giving up, some families looked for alternatives.
Incluso antes de que cerrara, algunas dos familias del año antepasado decidieron quedarse aquí. Entonces ya, por ejemplo, han ido ascendiendo sus trabajos, sus niñas ya están en la prepa, ya...
Similar to a few families who found themselves in that situation a couple of years ago, who ultimately decided to stay.
Laura smiles and her eyes brim with pride when she shares that even though they lost their CBP One appointments and the possibility of entry into the U.S., some families have chosen to settle in Tijuana, just like Silvia.
Allowing themselves to lay roots here, like enrolling their children in school and meeting new friends or spouses, trying to make room for a new life, a new dream.
Y o sea, lo lograron, pues, como ese Tijuana Dream. Se sienten bien, pues, se lograron asentar y han logrado crear también redes en sus trabajos. Los niños, bueno, son niñas.
We were intrigued when Laura mentioned the Tijuana Dream.
Do you remember our episode, Pura Vida, A Case for the Tijuana Dream?
En relación con Estados Unidos, al sueño americano, yo nunca he pensado en eso. Nunca me ha ilusionado.
Javier says he had never really felt seduced by the American dream. He was never interested in going to the United States to try his luck.
Aunque el trabajo es bastante fuerte, nunca me he preocupado por pensar en quedarme en Estados Unidos. De hecho, yo creía que a mí no me iban a dar la visa.
He has made significant progress in this new country and even felt less stressed in Tijuana when compared to Costa Rica.
In that episode, we spoke with Javier and Rubí, a couple of Central American migrants who run Pura Vida,
a food truck in Playas de Tijuana offering a wide selection of Salvadorian and Costa Rican dishes.
The spirit of that episode resonated throughout our conversation with Laura.
Pero es como justo, aquí en la casa es como lo que yo platicaba con muchas de las personas, es como, ¿y por qué esta no es opción? ¿No?
The question Laura asks is, why not Tijuana? Laura believes the city has many opportunities and its society is becoming increasingly empathetic.
And when it comes to her own Tijuana dream...
Ay, a título personal, Tijuana me ha dado mucho más de lo que tal vez en mi propio país obtuve.
For her, the Tijuana dream has meant the chance to experience moments she never imagined she would live.
Muy bueno. Mi esposo siempre dice, Tijuana es feo, pero se vive a gusto. Y nunca esperé vivir lo que he vivido aquí en Tijuana.
This border city, vibrant and full of surprises, has opened doors to adventures and stories.
Amo Tijuana, es mi casa. Soy muy feliz aquí. Ese Tijuana dream creo que lo definiría en esas oportunidades.
We thought it was curious that, despite Tijuana having been labeled for years as one of the most dangerous cities in the world, for Laura, it feels like a safe haven.
Justo, también me ha dado una percepción de seguridad y una tranquilidad de que no tenía ya, ¿no? Y lejos de hablar mal de mi país, porque amo mi país y sigo reconociendo de dónde soy y amo Colombia, es como también reconocer que pues aquí puedo salir caminando en mi casa al trabajo y pues estoy segura, ¿no? Obviamente.
The city has offered her a sense of security and peace that she never felt back in Colombia. For her, walking through the streets feels safe, feels like home.
She's living her own Tijuana dream. Despite knowing her experience as a migrant was a privileged one, Laura believes that leaving her country and starting a new life in Mexico has enabled her to show the people she welcomes at the shelter that perhaps there are other opportunities out there.
When we think about the border between Mexico and the U.S., we often picture walls, dangerous crossings, and closed doors. But in the middle of all that, there are also helping hands and spaces of care.
La Casa del Migrante is not just a shelter. It's a place where dignity is rebuilt, where people are listened to, accompanied, and guided to forge new paths, even when the dream of crossing north has faded.
Migration is more than crossing a border. It is the difficult process of rebuilding a life. And sometimes, that journey begins with the support of people like Laura, someone who, without knowing you, can welcome you with open arms and words of encouragement.
Pero, pues también es como poderle mostrar a las personas que quizás hay otras oportunidades, ¿no? Tijuana también es una ciudad que tiene muchas oportunidades para todos. Aquí todos cabemos, yo creo.
Laura reminds us that Tijuana has always been a city of migrants. And now more than ever, she says, the city could be an open door to every person who seeks a new start.
This episode of Port of Entry was written and produced by Natalie Gonzalez.
Adrian Villalobos is technical producer and sound designer.
This episode was edited by Julio Cesar Ortiz Franco and Elma Gonzalez Lima Brandao.
Lisa Jane Morissette is director of audio programming and operations.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Soy Alan Ilienthal.
Y yo soy Natalie Gonzalez.
Nos vemos pronto.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team. And we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head-on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.